Our scripture reading this morning is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It is I, the governor of Corinth, coming to you now. Thank you. Yeah. So apparently the Connor boys, whenever they make one of these bumper videos, I get cast to be the bad guy. All right. So there's King Herod on the left, the governor of Corinth on the right. And really all this proves is that I change my hair more than I change my attire for these videos. So yeah. Take that down.
At least you got hair.
I really hope that the online caught that. Yeah. If you're online, you're missing out. This has been a crazy 41 seconds so far. Well, my name's Jace. I serve on staff as a pastor here, and thoroughly enjoy having these opportunities. I love that I can come up here on a fifth Sunday to see really our incredible student worship team just do a great job of leading us today. Yeah. What a gifted bunch, and it fits really well into our service today. I love that we got to highlight seeing the Craigs. That's a partnership that Pastor Mark and I have been a part of for almost 20 years now. And Mark did note that Larry and Lisa Craig started that off. Lisa is with us today, 47 years on the mission field. That's worth clapping for right there. Yeah. And Lisa came armed with prayer cards. So when you go and talk to her after service, she is locked and loaded, ready to go and let you know how you can be praying for her and for their ministry on several different fields. Let me take just one more minute to keep bragging on our anomaly students. And I promise that all of this fits into our service today. Our junior high students participated in a summer camp this last June, and we adopted this theme called Build the Kingdom. And this theme really took on two different forms. The first one, of course, we challenged our students to build their faith on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, so to build the kingdom in that way. But we also challenged them to kind of step outside of themselves, outside of their comfort zone, and to go out into the nearby community here and truly build the kingdom. We served in several different food banks doing different jobs. We even packed lunches for homeless folks that often congregate in this nearby area. And we did spend some time even delivering meals to the homeless people. And I know that kind of activity, that sparks all kinds of reactions, especially in a room with this many people. We taught them discernment through these interactions. And mostly what we're trying to teach our students is that we need to lose the us and them, the us versus them mentality. We are all made to be masterpieces in God's eyes and are beautiful parts of his creation. And yeah. Be proud of our junior high students. They did all these things with smiles on their faces, and they worked really hard. That being said, they are still crazy junior high students. So one night we were doing a photo scavenger hunt, which takes us all over the city here taking pictures of, you know, doing crazy stuff. And one of them was you got to go to In-N-Out and you got to get your whole team in a picture after you've purchased just a, you know, classic cheeseburger from there. And the team that I was driving around, they got the cheeseburger and they ran out the door, and all of the boys not holding the burger decided, hey, let's do the right thing and let's give that burger to a homeless person that's sitting right outside the restaurant here. And the young man, I'm not going to say his name, we'll protect his identity, he took that cheeseburger and he stuffed the whole thing in his mouth. And he said, we don't feed the homeless people until tomorrow. That's on the schedule. Oh, yes. Still 12 years old. Still, yes. So how does this fit into our services this weekend? Well, I believe that our youth are very gifted. And we have a group right now that is willing to step out and be uncomfortable in order to develop their gifts. And I also believe the same thing for each and every one of you today. The point is this: every believer has been given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are to be used in unity, humility, and love for the building of the body of Christ. The Corinthians clearly had questions and struggles regarding spiritual gifts. That's why Paul addresses this in chapter 12. Thousands of years later, we are still learning the same lessons that were taught to the Corinthians. As believers, we need to recognize the source of our gifts, embrace our gifts in unity, and always look to use our gifts for the good of the church and for those around us. This weekend is all about glorifying God by unpacking this chapter, celebrating what God has done within this community of Christ followers at Desert Breeze, and challenging each of us to embrace and employ the gifts that God has given us within this community and within all of our circles of influence. Before we jump in, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come and worship you. We thank you for the great gifting that you have given everyone here at this church, specifically our worship team today, all these students that have stepped up and served all summer long, for the Craigs and then their ministry all across California and Nevada. Thank you for the gifting that you've given us. Lord, let each of us just be open to the truth that you have for us in 1 Corinthians 12. What a great series this has been so far. Be with us now as we talk about spiritual gifts and what they mean to us. We love you, Lord. Be with us. Amen. So let's jump right into the text here. Paul starts verse 1 by saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." He is referencing the fact that the Corinthians were having struggles and questions. Now, like other cities, churches, or bodies of believers that Paul had worked with, the Corinthians didn't exactly make a total 180-degree turnaround the first time they heard the truth that Paul was teaching them. And they're still having trouble becoming a unified body, and the use of their gifts were likely causing more discord than unity. We can infer that if Paul wants to give an extended response to the Corinthians regarding their questions about gifts, then it's assumed that the Corinthians were a talented bunch of folks. We know that they were a competitive bunch. We know that the Isthmian Games were held in Corinth for years and years. We know that the prizes were exceptional, and that people would work hard in order to win those games. So it makes sense that Paul says right off the bat, I don't want you to be uninformed. You're gifted people. Let's talk about this. He goes on to say in verses 2 and 3, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Paul is getting into what is our first big point of the notes that this fill in the blank is that you need to recognize the source of your gifts. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is mentioned twice in these first couple verses and then a bunch more throughout the entire chapter. But Paul is clear to say first that the Spirit of God is not like the dumb and mute idols of old. This isn't some statue on the wall that is never going to respond. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the one true God. And if you come across anyone who is not honoring God with their lips, honoring God with their actions, and they're bearing no fruit in their lives, then it is clear that you should not buy what they are selling. Right. This is a lesson that is so important for the Corinthians to hear, but it's also very important for us to hear today. In fact, that first sub-point that you have underneath is that you should always consider the source of your information. Paul offers this warning here at the beginning of chapter 12, but this is not the first time that he offers this warning in his writings. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, he says, "Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Test everything. Well, what's the test? What's our ultimate filter? It's the Word of God. It seems simple, and we try to overcomplicate it. It is the Word of God. Open your Bibles, everyone. As a favorite college professor of mine would say, he says, get your beak in the book. All right? Now, I was going to take a minute here and talk about how Facebook is not a good source of information to filter through, but just last night, I came across an article, and all right, here we go. Pelosi's hairdresser's plumber wrote a tell-all on the Cracker Barrel incident, and I'm just kidding, it's total. In fact, if you're writing Pelosi, you're the problem, all right, oh. It's all nonsense. Consider the source. In fact, I challenge you to double check everything that is even said from this platform on weekend services. Whether it's Pastor Ray up here, whether it's Pastor Mark up here, definitely if it's me up here, don't just blindly follow what the preacher says. Double check it against the ultimate source, the Word of God. Recognize the source, consider the source. In verse 4, Paul says, now that we've cleared that up, he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let me hit you with the fill in the blanks here first. Our gifts are diverse. They are given for the common good, and they are distributed by the same Spirit. Keep this term diverse or variety in mind as we continue studying this passage. We all have been uniquely gifted by God from a very wide bank of spiritual gifts. These gifts are designed to lead us into a multitude of opportunities to serve each other. I'll talk about that at the end of our time. They give us no end to the number of activities that we can participate in, and they are ultimately meant to be used for the common good. The gifts that we are given are not for our personal glory. They are meant to be used to build up the church and our surrounding community. And don't forget, the source of our gifts is named and reiterated multiple times throughout the chapter. The source, the all-encompassing same Spirit, the all-encompassing same Lord, the same God. This is not some fortune cookie making committee that puts our gifts together. The Lord God, the creator of the universe, the overseer of the cosmos, has created you, the individual, to be a masterpiece, and that includes your specific gifting. Now, some of you right now, you're tracking right along with me. You're very familiar with the term spiritual gift. Perhaps you've taken a spiritual gifting assessment before, maybe even in our DB Life class. In fact, if you haven't taken DB Life, it's coming up here very soon in the next couple of weeks, so make sure you sign up for that. Some of you might be sitting here going, Jace, I have no idea what you're talking about. What is a spiritual gift? What is my gift? How do I know what that is? Well, to help us out, in verses 8 through 11, Paul lists several examples of gifting that people may have. He lists wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And this isn't the only time that Paul writes about spiritual gifts in the New Testament. In fact, you can see on your screen, we have lists from Romans chapter 12, from 1 Corinthians 12, from Ephesians 4, from 1 Peter 4. We get quite the list here. Now, here's what we can't do in the service today. We cannot go through each and every one of these individually, break them down, discuss the definition, the role, the prevalence, et cetera, et cetera. But what we can do is really touch on the fact that there's no doubt about it that there is a wide range of gifts. There's many sub-gifts that can be derived from this list. And that the church becomes a more beautiful place when a broad assortment of people come together to use their very broad assortment of gifts. Let's keep rolling. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26 highlights our second big point, and that is we need to embrace the unity and value of the body. Paul is explaining that we as believers, we have gifts. They are uniquely given to us by God, and they are to be used for the common good. And now he wants to highlight the fact that these gifts were meant to generate unity and value instead of the opposite. This may very well be the heart of the message to the Corinthians in this chapter. Keep in mind that these are gifted people that have been struggling with unity for quite a while. In verses 12 through 13, Paul states, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and we and words are hard. And all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one spirit." It's in this point in the chapter that Paul starts using a very useful, albeit strange, illustration. He starts off by comparing the human body to the church body. The human body has many parts, and even though there are many parts, it is still one body. The same can be said for those that have put their faith in Jesus. Our salvation, our coming to faith, our joining with him means that we are all part of a body, the body of Christ. And Paul goes out of his way to note that this salvation is for everybody, for Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free. Now, this may not be head-turning information in 2025, but keep in mind, our original audience, first century Corinth, this would make a lot of people still go, huh? It's for everybody? It can be also seen as an additional note that maybe Paul is saying to the Corinthians, let's focus on unity as opposed to continually dividing people into different classes. He also uses an interesting phrase at the end of verse 13, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Very simply put, as believers, as we are all members of the body of Christ, we all have access to the same source of spiritual nourishment. We all get to participate in what the Holy Spirit has for us. We all get to be satisfied by the river that never runs dry. And because it's something that we all have access to as believers, even though we're different, even though we all have different gifts, in fact, your next fill in the blank, diversity in gifts should not divide us. It unites us. Diversity in gifts doesn't divide us. It unites us. Yes, we're different, but we can still come together. We're not all drinking from different sources. We are all a part of the body of Christ, the giver of everything, the source of everything. Let's not allow this to be a source of division. In fact, let it bring us together. Let it bring families together, churches together, communities together. Have you ever sat at the dinner table with your family and just looked upon the chaos? That's a stage of life that I'm in right now. It's just food everywhere and chaos. You just look around and go, you are all so different. And that is a beautiful thing. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, and I'm saying to you, too often we give too much negative focus and attention on what we disagree on and what we divide on. Why not take a little more effort and celebrate what brings us together? Let's celebrate what unites us. We're all different, and that's okay. Paul illustrates this by continuing to build out his examples in verses 14 through 20. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would then be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Now, if you know me a little bit or a lot of bit, you know that I'm going to try to find humor in everything. It is a strength in most cases, not at funerals, but that is a different story. I can't help but find this section a little outlandish and a little humorous. There's no doubt that Paul is making a great point here through this illustration. In fact, it's even your next fill in the blank. Every gift is necessary. We learn that through this illustration. But can you honestly close your eyes and imagine your different body parts expressing their feelings in this way? Even pouting in this way. I mean, can you just picture your foot in the corner, you know, just sulking? And you walk over, well, you kind of hobble over because your foot, all right. And you just say, what's wrong, little buddy? And your foot looks up at you and says, I'm not a hand. I don't belong. Or maybe you're picking up your ear after school and your ear climbs into the car and you say, how was your day? And all you get is not as good as it would have been if I were an eye. Like, just, it's kind of outrageous. It's ridiculous. And Paul knows it's ridiculous. And he keeps going. He says, if your whole body was an eye, how could you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how could you smell? And I'm sure as the first readers in Corinth were just starting to crack a smile, Paul hits him with the explanation. God himself did the arranging. And God himself does not make mistakes. Every single member of the body is necessary. Every single one of us is necessary. And every single gift that has been given to us is necessary. I might be going out on a limb here, but I truly believe that there's at least one person that came in here today feeling a little unnecessary. And if you just need to hear it from me, then hear it now. From the top of your head to the tips of your toes, God has hardwired you to be a necessary part of his plan and his creation. Amen. Yeah, and if any one of you has someone in your life that is telling you something different, then go back to point one of this message and consider the source of your information. Let's keep reading. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Paul has taken this illustration of comparing the human body and the body of Christ, and he has kept it going, and he addresses a struggle that each of us have on a daily basis, and that struggle is playing the comparison game. Your next fill in the blank is, don't overestimate your gifts and underestimate others' gifts. If we are all designed to play our part with our specific gifts, our specific skills, and our specific strengths, then don't use those abilities to tear other people down. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head say the same to the feet. Actually, the truth is, the weaker one seems, the more important it is. The less honorable it seems, the greater honor that it deserves. Now, I took a trip into the world of Google search to help illustrate this. And when you search tiny parts of the body that are actually important, it takes you down an interesting rabbit trail. But here are a few treasures. Has anyone in here ever heard of the pineal gland? Okay, for real though. It sounds like a made-up word, all right? The pineal gland, let me tell you about this little guy. It's about 0.8 millimeters in length and weighs about 0.1 grams, and it sits right in the center of your brain, and it helps regulate sleep patterns. Without that teeny tiny, can't even measure it here with my fingers on stage, we would not be able to regulate our sleep. And now, for those of you who go to the gym regularly, do you often do exercises that target the stapedius muscle? Probably not. It is the body's smallest muscle. It is often found right in the middle ear, and it's designed to protect your inner ear from damage caused by loud noises. Now, as I say that, everyone in the booth back there is all rolling their eyes because someone's going to come up now and go, I knew it. These loud worship sets have been damaging my stapedius muscle. I was right all along. Please don't hurt me after service. These are just two anatomical examples of how the smallest parts can play the most important role. It's not up to us to compare our gifts to others in the same way a schoolyard bully wants to use his strength over the smaller kids on the playground. God actually designed the body to give great honor to the parts that appear lacking. And the idea behind it was to reduce division as opposed to increasing it. After all, if one member is hurting, we all hurt together. And if one member is rejoicing and finds honor, then all rejoice and are honored together. James 2, 1 through 4 says this to support, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or just sit at my feet, have you then not made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Show no partiality within the faith. This leads you down the road toward making inappropriate distinctions. You become judgmental and you are filled with evil thoughts, this is a slippery slope to be on. I also want to give you the inverse of this point. You won't find it in your bulletins, but if you want to write this down, here's the inverse, and it's this. Don't underestimate your gifts and overestimate others' gifts. How easy is it for each of us to shrink away or to step back when we feel like we are standing in the shadow of someone else's great gift? I'll admit, any time that Pastor Ray asked me to step up and teach in weekend services here, one of the first things I think of is, how on earth can I ever live up to the standard that he has set for this pulpit? And that's not his heart at all. That's not how he operates. That's just the voice that creeps into my head. I know when the worship team is on stage and they're showing the incredible gifts that God has given them, and I find myself getting kind of jealous. I can't produce a sound like that. In fact, if you've ever stood near me in service, you know that I don't produce a very nice sound at all. And I find myself lip-syncing part of the time, so I don't bother people around me as they sing. But, you know, we can laugh a little bit, but that's exactly what Satan wants us to do when it comes to using our gifts. He loves it when we lord our gifts over each other in a prideful way. He loves it when we are overcome by fear or awe of others' gifts, that we never take a chance to let our own gifting shine. And if you've ever looked at someone else and said, I could never do what they do, let me tell you right now, you're absolutely right. You can't, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't feel like you have to. God didn't make you to do what they could do. He made you to do what you can do, and he made you in such a unique way that what you can do and what you can bring to the table is exactly what the table needs. Hear that. I was talking with Gary, a lot of you guys know Gary, our beloved facilities director, about this very subject. And oftentimes when we talk, we use sports analogies. That's how we communicate with each other, you know. Cardinals, Diamondbacks, yeah. We talk like that, and he starts giving me this amazing example. He says, if God has been batting 1,000 for all of eternity, if God has never swung and missed on anything, how could he possibly make a mistake with us and our gifting? And by the way, where would this church be without Gary? Without his gifting, without his skills, yeah. And without his humility. God has not swung and missed with you or your gifting. Hear that. Last section, last point, and then I'll land the plane from here. This last big point here is steward your gifts for the good of the church. Let me read these final verses. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Now, just a reminder, the point of this message is to not necessarily get into the weeds of what Paul lists and all these gifts are and what they mean, but what I'm trying to get across is what we should do with the gifts that have been given to us. It's been very firmly established that God has given all of us gifts. We do not and should not all do the same thing. There's a broad variety. At church, it would get very crowded if you all showed up one Sunday and said, I feel led to preach. It just wouldn't work. The nursery would become very uncomfortable if we all decided on the same weekend that we're all gifted in the holding babies department. It's like 200 of us in here and 8 babies. Germs, people. Come on. The cafe would not function if we all decided my spiritual gift is pulling espresso shots and making drinks. It just wouldn't work. What if we had 300 greeters out front? Every introvert would die. Yeah. It's so great that there are a variety of gifts given and a variety of people to have them. I'll give you the very last two fill-in-the-blanks back-to-back here. Your gifts are for serving others, and we should all seek to use our gifts in a loving way. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each of us has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." You have gifts. Use them well. And don't miss the final tag of this chapter where Paul says, "And I will show you still a still more excellent way." If we don't do it in a loving way, if we don't share our gifts in a loving way, we might as well not do it at all. And I'm so glad, I'm so proud to say that so many of you are already doing exactly this. In fact, I bug Pastor Mark, who tracks so much of our numbers around here, and I said, "Mark, give me some stats on how many people at Desert Breeze have been employing and using their gifts all around the church." And I'd love to tell you this, in 2023, we had 523 unique individuals participate at least once in serving on a team or attending a ministry function that would help them exercise or sharpen their gifting. In 2024, that number rose to 709. And now through the first 8 months of 2025, we have already surpassed that 709 number. We're pushing 800 already and on our way to a much higher number. Over 70% of this church body is already living out this chapter and are engaged in a lot of different ways. So we can either celebrate that, or we can look really closely at the 30% of you that are bums and not participating. I am mostly kidding. I'm kidding, of course. If you want to learn more about this subject, or you want to see what your gifting is, or figure out how your specific gifting can be employed here at this church, I want to invite you to go to our website. And at the top of the homepage, you'll see two buttons: serve on a team, connect in a group. Now, we put that at the top of our page because these are some of our top priorities here at Desert Breeze. Get people plugged in and get them using the gifts that God has given them for His glory and for His kingdom. Let me end with this. Never, ever forget that Jesus gave us the ultimate gift, Himself. We love because He first loved us. We serve because He first served us. And again, all around this room, I see people that are just on fire for serving Jesus because of everything that He has done. Jesus loves you so much that He died for you. He took the sin that should be dragging you down upon Himself so that you could have a chance at eternal life in His presence. That is a big deal. And one of the perks of being on this lifelong, eternity-long relationship with God is that we get a big bonus of being equipped with gifts to serve and to love others around us. And let not a single one of us take that for granted. I'm going to pray and close our service. When I'm done, I'll be right here in case you have questions or if you need additional prayer, if you want to learn more about this subject. But never forget, you have gifts. Use them well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this time. Thank You that we can just work through even just one chapter of Your truth Lord, I'm so, so thankful that 1 Corinthians 12 means so much to us today in 2025. I'm so grateful that this chapter has already made an impact on so many here. So many people are serving as an overflow of their love for you, their gratitude for you. Lord, let that continue to move in an upward way this year, next year, and beyond. Lord, what a great problem it would be around here to have too many people that want to serve and use their gifts. Let that be a problem that we face week in and week out. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've done throughout this entire series and ask that you continue to guide us. Be with us now. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed. Have a great Sunday.